This is the many witnesses of Mark chapter 1, the many witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and of who Jesus is, really. It's kind of amazing when we look at it, but I'll read these verses to you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. So in these 13 verses, we are going to find... what we're going to find is eight specific witnesses. Seven or eight witnesses of who Jesus is, of the person of Christ. I want you all to pay attention very closely. Come here, I want you to hold this. Sit on that log right there and just hold this, okay? Just hold this up. Don't cover that up. There you go. There's eight witnesses here. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray you'd help us now. Bless us. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I was looking at this last night, and I noticed that there were a number of witnesses here that witnessed to who Jesus is. The Bible first says, in the beginning, the beginning of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's one gospel. But there's a continued revelation of Jesus being the Son of God. So all over the New Testament, from the Gospels, all the way, from the Old Testament, which we're going to see, all the way through, there's a witness of to the person of Jesus Christ, all the way through. So the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Gospel is the revelation of a person, the man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. It's a continual revelation of God becoming man and dying for sinners and rising from the dead, ascending back to heaven. So the first witness we see here is the prophets. It says, the voice of one crying in the... It says, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. So the first witness we see here is the witness of the prophets. The Old Testament prophesied. It says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So these men, they witnessed and they prophesied concerning the coming of Christ, the person of Christ, who he was. So it says here, as it is written in the prophets. The Bible says that the prophets, they had the Spirit of Christ in them. So witnessing. So the first witness that we see here in the many manifold witnesses to Jesus is the prophets. The Old Testament, that's the Old Testament, witnessed and foretold of the coming of Christ, of his person and of his redemption, of his work that he would do. So that's the first witness that we see there, that shows us that it foretold of that gospel, that he would come and a messenger would go before him. That second witness was John. John the Baptist was the second witness. John the Baptist, he witnessed, and he was that messenger that was sent before, okay? He was that messenger that was sent before to witness to who Jesus was. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So, John, look up here, John was the witness. John was the witness. Another witness, he was the prophet that the New Testament, he was that kind of intermediate witness from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He was that bridge. He was a prophet that was like a bridge from the Old to the New Testament. And he witnessed, it says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance. So there's the second witness there of John. So the first witness is who? The first witness that we see was the prophets. I want you to pay attention up here. Hands in your lap. The first witness was who?
The prophets.
The prophets. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way. The second witness is the messenger. And who is that?
John.
John. John is the second witness to who Christ is and who Christ was. John being that second witness. Hands in your lap, please. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So John would. So the prophets bore witness also to John, and John the Baptist bore witness. But we know that the witness of God is greater. The next witness is, I would say, is baptism. Baptism is a picture of the gospel. Baptism is a picture of Jesus Christ. It is a picture of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It says here that John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That word for means because of the remission of sins. They were forgiven. They were baptized. They submitted to that Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world, the future redemption, the revealed revelation. See, that's where people get confused. They think there's more than one gospel. They were saved a different way. But no, they weren't. All of it is a continued revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That the gospel is about Jesus. The gospel is who Jesus is. That's the witness. So the first witness was who? The prophets. The second witness was John in particular. The third witness is
baptism.
Baptism is a witness. When you make a public profession of faith in Christ Jesus, what you're saying is that you are witnessing. You're being baptized because you want to identify with Christ. It is a public profession and it is a testimony. So these are all testimonies. They're giving their record or their testimony. Baptism is that testimony. It's that testimony. The Bible says baptism is also the answer of a good conscience toward God. Okay? So the next one would be baptism. And John talked about that. They were baptized as a witness of what they believed, as a testimony of what they believed. When you were baptized, it was a testimony that you wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That you wanted to be baptized, and you wanted to follow Jesus, and you wanted to be his disciple, and you wanted to identify with him. Okay? There's another witness also that comes into play here, and that next one is the Father. The Father is the next witness. He is what we consider actually, the Holy Ghost is the next witness, and then it would be the Father. It says here, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost descended. Look at it. It says here, straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. So that the Holy Spirit is a witness. He is a witness. He is a witness of the gospel. He is a witness of who Jesus is. The Bible says the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So the Spirit is the only one. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Father that draws us in. It's the Holy Ghost that makes the gospel alive to us. It's the Holy Ghost that personalizes the gospel to us and to our personal need that we are lost and dead in sins and that Jesus is the only way to save our souls. Jesus is the only one that can save our souls. That's what the Spirit does. He bears witness. So the Spirit is the next witness. He is the fourth witness. So who's the first witness? Look up here. Who's the first witness? Hands in your lap.
Prophets.
Look this way. Who's the first witness?
Prophets.
Second witness?
John.
Third witness?
The baptism.
Fourth witness?
Holy Ghost.
That's right. The Holy Ghost is the fourth witness. Straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. So the Spirit comes and descends as like a dove. And it shows he bears witness. He gives witness, okay, to who Jesus is. All of these testifying to who Jesus is. All of these making their testimony of who Jesus is. Now, the fifth one, and there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. Who is that? What?
The Father.
That's the Father. The fifth witness is the Father. He bears witness. The Father bears witness, right? To the Son. So God speaks from heaven. Is that the only time God spoke from heaven concerning Jesus?
No.
No. What was another time he spoke from heaven? The other time he spoke from heaven, he said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Because he's the Word, right? He also spoke from heaven a third time, and the third time he spoke from heaven, he said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." He said, "Glorify thy name, O Father." And the Father spoke from heaven and said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Right? So Jesus said that, or God the Father said that. "And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So this is the Father at Jesus' baptism, which is a testimony. This is the Father. This is the Father, and he is bearing witness to the Son. He is bearing witness to who Jesus is, right? He is explaining, look up here, he is explaining who Jesus is. He is bearing witness. He is giving his testimony. "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is what God said about his beloved Son. He said, "My beloved Son." His well-beloved Son, right? "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Think about this, though, how much the world hated Jesus. But his Father said, "Thou art my beloved Son." And think about how much the world will hate you. It will hate God's people. Jesus said, "Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you." So the world will hate us. The world will hate the gospel. The world will hate who Jesus is. But that doesn't mean that the Father loves his people any less. I think the Father loves his people the more when they are hated the more by the world. His Father expressed and proclaimed his love for him, right? And sometimes it has to be enough that God loves us, even especially when the world hates us. We have no audible voice, right? But we have a more sure word of prophecy, Peter talks about. In 2 Peter chapter 1, right? Peter talks about the more sure word of prophecy that we have. Because you and I aren't going to get a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But does that mean that God doesn't love us? Because we don't hear that audible voice? No, that doesn't mean that. Because Peter said this about that. He said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So, you know, these men spake. Peter says, don't look for a voice from heaven. You have a more sure word of prophecy right here. You and I have the witness of God, and the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. We understand that. We do believe that. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So we have the Father that bears witness, right? We also have Satan that bore witness. What did he say? "Immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan." In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible talks about Satan saying, "If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God," right after Jesus gets his commission, right after his mission is given, right after his baptism, Satan attacks him. What does he attack? The very person of who Christ is. That's who he attacks. By the way, that's who he attacks in your mind too. The very person of Christ. He tries to fill your hearts with doubts and fears, tries to get you to doubt the Savior, doubt your salvation, doubt your sonship in Christ. That you've truly been forgiven of your sins and that you've truly been born again. That's Satan's goal, is to try to get you to doubt. "Yea, hath God said," is the question that he asks. And "if thou be the Son of God, then do this. If thou be the Son of God, then do that." Well, if you're really a child of God, then you wouldn't go through the things that you're going through. If you were really a child of God, then these things wouldn't happen to you. You wouldn't have doubts and fears and all these other things. If you really were a child of God, right? That's Satan's way. If thou be is always his way to raise questions and strifes and doubts and fears. He did it to Jesus right away. He tried to make him doubt his own sonship. He tried to make him doubt his power, whether his father loved him and that he was cared for. He tried to make him doubt that. Right? That's how Satan works. He wants to make you doubt who God is. He wants to make you doubt God's goodness to you, right? God's grace to you. You know, there in the midst of so many witnesses that we see here, there are so many witnesses here, right? We have so far we've covered, let's see, what was number one? The prophets. Number two?
John.
Number three?
Baptism.
Baptism. Number four?
The Holy Ghost.
Five?
The Father.
Six?
Satan.
Right. And there's one more. The angels. It says here that after when Jesus was tempted in these first 13 verses, it says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. So the angels came and bore witness to him being the Son of God. They came and bore witness of him being God. So you have these eight witnesses or these seven witnesses that are right there. Seven witnesses of the Savior that are right there of who Jesus is, of his mission, of what he... But you also have, in the midst of those seven witnesses, I want you to think about this. You have Satan, even him bearing witness of who Christ is, right? But in the midst of those, you have Satan there when Jesus was at his weakest physical point, 40 days and 40 nights fasting. You have Satan there attempting to try to bring doubt and fear and question and temptations. You know, your temptations are for you to doubt God. When we get into sin, it's because we don't believe God's way is the right way, or we believe there's a better way, so we sin and we go against God many times because we think that there's a better way. We think that there's an easier way, that God's way is too hard. Right? If thou be, those questions. Satan is called the tempter here in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus gives Satan the Bible back, though. He gives him Bible back. It is written. It is written. It is written. Jesus fights back with the greatest witness, the Word of God rightly divided. See, Satan took the Bible and tried to pervert it. He tried to pervert the Scriptures, and he tried to make them of no effect. That's what he tried to do. He tried to twist the Scripture so Christ would be tripped up like he did with Eve. Remember what he did to Eve? Yea, hath God said? Isn't that what he did? Yea, hath God said? And he tried to do that with Jesus. If thou be... He tried to get Jesus to fall for the same thing that Eve fell for, but it didn't work. Why? Because Jesus knew the Scriptures. Jesus is God in the flesh. So Jesus fights back. And you learn then that Satan will pervert the Bible, and you and I must rightly divide it and apply it in order to make a proper stand. We have many witnesses. Look at all these witnesses in these first 13 verses. You have seven witnesses of who Jesus is. Yet in the midst of all those witnesses, Satan even being one of them, you have doubt, you have Satan coming in and trying to sow seeds of discord, seeds of doubt, attacking the gospel right away. That's what Satan does. He wants to attack the gospel. He wants to attack it in your mind. Why? Because what is the gospel? The beginning of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the gospel. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible speaks of this and says, you know, salvation is as simple as this. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? Whom do men say that I am? Some said he was John the Baptist risen again. Some said he was one of the prophets. Some said he was this. And he said, whom do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's really what it comes down to, is knowing that Jesus Christ and believing that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God. right? And Jesus said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell will not prevail against the gospel, will not prevail against the truth, the foundation of Jesus Christ being the Son of God. That is the witness. And we believe the witness of God, right? We are to believe the witness of God because the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. We are to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we do believe that. If you're saved here today, you believe that. You've staked your never-dying soul on that. 1 John chapter 5. Says this. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. So you see the witness there, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, remember the Spirit descending like a dove? The water and the blood. Right? And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So these witnesses are great witnesses for you to remember. And those are the first 13 verses of Mark. We see all of those witnesses of who Jesus is right there in the beginning of that chapter. We also, again, the thing to remember is we see Satan attacking that gospel right away. He wasted no time in attacking the gospel. Children, he'll waste no time in attacking the gospel in your life. He'll to create doubt, to foster unbelief, he'll waste no time in doing that. Remember the simplicity of the gospel. Remember, the gospel is that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died on the cross for sinners, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Remember that gospel. That's the gospel that we preach. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And all these witnesses, right? All of these witnesses that witness to the truth of who Jesus is. What were those witnesses? Number one, the prophets. Number two, John. Number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, the angels, that's right. Amen.